Charja Stotra Satashi Shriman is Divine Grace AC Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON founder Acharya is Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Raj Granta Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Sisi Kishore Kishori Ki Jai. Sisi Gornitai Ki Jai. Sisi Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai. Sisi Lakshmi Nisringa Bhagavan Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi, glories to the assembled devotees, oh, glories to the assembled devotees, glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. I can't see the text number. 20? Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this is the prose, so there's no real meter for chanting this. So, what we can do, anybody who wants to chant, you just chant it straight through. That's all. So I'll do the same thing. Iti samba bihiti, hiti samba bihito maha bhagavato bhagavatas trivuvanam guru anushashanam atmano laghutaya vannata siro daro padam iti ta sabahu manam Uvacha. Okay. Word for word. I'll let you off the hook. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, Iti thus, Samabhihita, completely instructed, Mahabhagavata, the great devotee, Bhagavata of the most powerful Lord Brahma, Tribhuvana of the three worlds, Guru, the spiritual master, Anushasanam, the order, Atmanaha, of himself, Laghutaya, because of inferiority, Avanata, bowed down, Sirodara, his head, Badam, yes sir, Iti, thus, Sadbahu Namam, Sabahu Manam, with great respect, Uvacha, it's Uvaha, carried out. Translation, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued, after thus being fully instructed by Lord Brahma, who is the spiritual master of the three worlds, Priyavata, his own position being inferior, offered obeisances, accepted the order, and carried it out with great respect. Purport is quite small. Sri Priyavrata was the grandson of Lord Brahma. Therefore, according to social etiquette, his position was inferior. It is the duty of the inferior to carry out the order of the superior with great respect. Priyavrata therefore immediately said, "Yes, sir, I shall carry out your order." Priyavrata is described as Maha Bhagavata, a great devotee. The duty of a great devotee is to carry out the order of the spiritual master, or the spiritual master of the spiritual master in the parampara system. As described in Bhagavad Gita 4.2, evam paramparam praptam. One has to receive the instructions of the Supreme Lord through the disciplic chain of spiritual masters. A devotee of the Lord always considers himself a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Om Agyantimirandasya Gyanajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swampadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Sri Sri Kishore Kishore Ki Jai Sri Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai Sri Sri Gaur Nithai Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Now this verse is fundamental to the whole process of devotional service, in that it explains how one can access success on the path of devotional service. The word disciple comes from the word discipline. And discipline is the first principle of spiritual practice. Without discipline, no one can advance at all. One has to follow in the footsteps of the previous spiritual teachers who are under the guidance of their spiritual teacher, who is ultimately under the guidance of Krishna. It's called the chain of disciplic succession. So the difference between rapid advancement and very slow and sometimes reverses in our spiritual life is to be very obedient to the instructions of the spiritual master, and in many cases the instructions of those who are representing the spiritual master. In other words, our authorities. Without allegiance and obedience to the authorities, there's practically no advancement in spiritual life, because the whole principle of spiritual life is, or the whole conception of why we're in this material world is our, what we say, desire to remain separate from Krishna. And we come to this material world to exercise that, what we say, unnatural desire. And therefore, when we come to this material world, we carry this false sense of independence with us. And that is the cause of all our suffering. It's false, because a living entity can never be independent. It's just like Prabhupada would use the example of a prison house. The prison house is there for those who disobey the instructions of the state, or we might say break the laws of the state, and therefore punishment is meted out according to the severity of the crime. So in the same way, we get a particular type of body according to the severity of our type of crime in this material world. And therefore, it's a form of prison. We're locked up in this body, and we don't belong here. So how to get out is the process of devotional service. And the first principle is obedience. Now, obedience comes by way of intelligence. Intelligence teaches us that, well, clear intelligence teaches us that you have to follow something. Either you follow the laws of the material energy and be controlled by that, or you follow the laws of the Krishna's superior energy and be controlled by that. Or you follow the laws of neither one and be controlled by your own mind, which is another form of material energy. So everyone is under some control. This idea of independence is just some false concept, because no one is independent of anything. Everyone is locked up by some control, whether material, spiritual, or a combination of both. So here, it's nicely described. Priyavrata is on a very elevated stage of spiritual life. He's considered to be Mahabhagavat. When we speak about the gradations of spiritual practices, that is the highest form of spiritual attainment, Mahabhagavat. Not only Bhagavat, but Mahabhagavat. Very few persons attain such a high level of spiritual practice. But still, although he's detached from everything material and absorbed in everything spiritual, that's his practice in devotional service, Prabhupada emphasizes that still it's his duty to carry out the instructions of the superior. In this case, his temple commander. In the sense that Lord Brahma has a universal responsibility to make sure things go on in the universe. And Priyavrata can play a key part in helping to bring about that success. So he's petitioning him to do the work. So it's more like a service request. It's not that he has to do anything else about his spiritual life. He's not getting spiritual guidance. But he's following the need of the greater whole, in that his service is so important and responsible that if he doesn't, there will be what we say disorganization, or a lack of what we say complete organization. So he takes on the responsibility, although he doesn't really need to do this for his own spiritual practice, he's doing it as a service. And so he's obedient, and therefore he's glorified in that sense. We read earlier how he wasn't interested in doing this, because in order to do this, he would have to change his ashram. He couldn't do it as a brahmachari. He'd have to be in the grihastha ashram, and he wasn't interested in that type of entanglement. And so it was a great sacrifice for him to do this, but that's what it takes to practice spiritual life, because the basis of spiritual life is to give up our own false sense of independence and take the shelter of the superiors and follow their instructions. When you find or we should find those who can give guidance and instructions, then we become, as what we say, yes men. Yes, sir, what is your order? And if you don't give me an order, please give me an order. That's our mood. This idea of independence is called monodharma. It means I listen to my mind and I do what my mind tells me. And that's like listening to a bad master, because the mind has kept us in the material world life after life after life. Mitrimayara vese kachoha bububai chief Krishna das ehi vishwa kole dara dukanai. It's like we've been tossed from one material situation to another, life after life after life. Karananguna sangosho sadasa joni janmasho. Therefore, sometimes in a very elevated position in the material world as a demigod, sometimes as a human being on this planet, and sometimes in lower species or even lower planetary systems. It's like a merry-go-round. It goes up and down, it goes round and round. The round and round is birth, death, disease, and old age, and the up and down is we're always changing position. And we'll get another position according to our desire. So the way to get out is the principle of following strictly the instructions of the spiritual master, strictly. Until we come to that stage, we can never really make tangible progress in spiritual life. We may analyze, question, discuss how to follow the instructions, or what is the instructions that are most important in the relationship to myself. But then again, ultimately, the principle is to follow. And that's the difference between progress and no progress. Because you only have to understand this one principle. We're in the material world because we disobeyed Krishna. We have to get back by the principle of obedience to Krishna. And Krishna's representative is the person that is there to help us come to that stage. And so to follow the instructions of the spiritual master, or to focus exclusively on the instructions of the spiritual master as one's life and soul, is a constant factor of practicing devotional service. It doesn't come easily. It doesn't come easily. But the first principle, and we were discussing this lately, is to have faith in the instructions of the spiritual master. That's the most important thing. And one has to have guidance also, or take guidance from the spiritual master. If we simply pick and choose, we'll be picking and choosing life after life after life. Even if one has no qualifications, if you have one qualification of obedience, that qualification will bring you success in the process of devotional service, that's all. Of course, obedience requires intelligence too, how to execute the instructions in the best possible way. And there's where questions and answers come in for clarification and for guidance. But that's the principle here, and this is what's being said here. So Prabhupada ends the purport. The devotee of the Lord always considers himself servant of the servant of the servant. And that's our position, dasa, dasa, anudasa. And Prabhupada say, the more we understand and practice this mood, the more we can make advancement in Krishna consciousness. One has to see themselves as a servant. This is not an artificial imposition of one's some philosophy on our life. It's actually coming back to our proper consciousness. And it's so nice to be a servant. That's the whole point. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he comes to the material world. He's the Supreme Lord, and he wants to play the role of a servant. He's the master, but he also teaches that the role of a servant is as good as, or even better than, the role of a master. Why? Because the servant enjoys on the same level as the master. As Prabhupada would say, if a servant is employed by a very rich man and he's living in that person's house, he didn't do anything to gain it, but he gets all the facilities of the master. And not only that, he gets his own pay along with that. He can use all the things that the that are available in the master's. Of course, he gives them. He gives them the facility. He can eat nicely, have a nice place to stay. He has whatever he needs to do his service. His personal needs are taken care of. He's happy because he didn't gain any. He didn't do anything to gain any of these. But all of that is given to him. So when we take shelter of Krishna, as Prabhupada used to say, people sometimes criticizing, well, what, you people don't work. You don't do anything. You're a parasite. Prabhupada said, what do you mean parasite? We are living on the expense of our father, and he's the richest person. So we're not dependent on you, we're dependent on him. And he's giving us whatever we need, so why should we work like an ass like you? Because you have rejected your father, and therefore you're a, what we say, prodigal son. You're lost. You just come back and you can be like us. Prabhupada used to say, come and live in our temple. We have four cars. You can also have four cars. That's one statement he made. Yeah, you can. We say, come on, have nice prasadam. You can have a nice place to live. You know, so many nice things. No, man, I want to work. I want to be an ass. And that's what people are. They don't understand that their father is the richest person. He's willing to share those riches with you. If you simply follow your, what we say, dharma. In other words, take up the position of servant. So servant is nice. That's why when you go to India, people say, how can I serve you? That's the culture. How can I serve you? Come to the West, and people say, how can you serve me? That's, unfortunately, there's no training in this culture about what it means to actually enjoy life, is to be a servant. And one in a position of the servant is so satisfied that they wouldn't trade that position for anyone. Prahlad Maharaj, when he was encouraged by Nrisingadev to take some benediction, he said, what do I need? I'm happy just serving you. The position of the servant is so glorious that one who is fixed in service, they wouldn't trade that position or the benefits of that position for anything in this material world. They see everything in this material world, as Dhruva Maharaj said, simply broken pieces of glass. And that's what people are working for, broken pieces of glass. And they're working hard to get it, too. But therefore, the position of the servant under the guise of the perfect master is perfect. What does Bhaktivinoda Thakur says? Let me be your dog. Kukuda. Let me just be your dog. I'm happy. I'll stand by your door. I'll wag my tail. If some enemy comes, I'll bark. And I'll just wait for you to throw me a bone. But I know because you're a good master, I'll always get my, you know, best forms of bones. So we're always looking for someone to serve. Why not serve Krishna? And serving Krishna is not making plans how to serve Krishna. It's finding out what Krishna's plan is for us to serve. That's what it means to serve. As long as we make our own plans, we'll always be confused in devotional service. Therefore, one should take guidance and find out how to serve in the best possible way and be enthusiastic in that process of service. Priyavrata, he had no real concern or what we say need to change his position, but he did it. It was a sacrifice. Srila Prabhupada, he didn't have to come to the West. He was happy. He would say, I was so happy in my little room in the Radha Damodar temple. I had everything there. Of course, there was no material facilities there. There was no running water. There was no electricity. Later on, they hooked up one light bulb, I think. But he had nothing in terms of the material arrangements. But he said, I was happy. But I had to come to your country because that was the order of my spiritual master to do the work of Lord Chaitanya. So he made a big personal sacrifice. And so we see, wherever there is sacrifice, there's great gain. So when you sacrifice yourself, you also help your friends, your family members, and everybody. Everybody. Everyone has their idea how one can be happy. But here's the principle. Just serve. That's all. Just be happy. A devotee thinks, I don't even have enough time to do all the service I want to do. That devotee thinks like that. I wish I had more time. I wish the day was longer. Why 24 hours? What about 42 hours? The day's too short. We want to do more service. And then the devotee even thinks, why sleep? Because that's a waste of time. But we sleep in order to maintain the body for devotional service. We eat to maintain the body for devotional service. So the devotee's always in the mood of service, and even when they take things for themselves, they take it because they need it for their service, that's all. They don't do it in any selfish or personal way. That's Krishna consciousness, and that's what it means here. So obedience, as Prabhupada made this very interesting tape, he's discussing this. He said this is the highest principle of spiritual life. Just to be obedient. That's it. And we don't need to wait for somebody to come and tell us, can you do some service? Why not offer some service? Come to the representatives, the temple presidents, the spiritual masters and say, what can I do? What service can I do? Give me some service. And to say there's no service would be like to offend a person. Because service is our life. And when we're engaged in devotional service, we're under the Daivi Prakriti, the internal energy of the Lord. We shift our position away from the external energy into the internal energy. Because devotional service is on the spiritual platform. Mam chayo vivacharena bhakti yogena sevati sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. That Krishna says in the Gita, one who's engaged in devotional service and doesn't fall down under any circumstance transcends the three modes of material nature and comes to the spiritual platform, the Brahman platform. So this is the beauty of devotional service. It takes us away from the material energy, which is always controlling us and pushing us from different this way and that way, and forcing us to think and act according to the dictates of our desires under the influence of one or more of the lower modes of material energy. So devotional service is the greatest gift. To get devotional service is rare. But to understand how to practice it is the feature of one who is serious. So that's the most important part here. So Prabhupada says the duty of a great devotee is to carry out the orders of the spiritual master. So not only great devotee, but anyone who's carrying out the instructions of the spiritual master and making that their focus is also great. Because they've understood the importance or the purpose of devotional service. And therefore, even we see, as I mentioned earlier, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's eager. He wants to serve. When he got initiation from Ishwara Puri, he came back from Gaya, after being the arrogant scholar Sri Nimai Pandit, defeating everybody in the area of Navadvip, now he was a humble servant. He would fold the clothes of his devotees. He would get them their prasadam. He would carry loads for people. He was doing menial service. Why? just to show that, hey, it's better to be a servant than to be a master. It is. You think I'm just making some philosophical, you know, hyperboles here or jokes? It's actually better to be a master has a lot of problems. Servants don't have any problems. All they have to do is how to figure out how to carry out the orders of the master. That's all. It's easy. And when you have a good master, you're happy. And what better master can be is than Krishna, or Krishna's pure representative. We're happy. We're eager. We think, what service can I do now? And how can I do it in such a way that it'll be pleasing? So we're enthusiastic for service. If everybody had that mentality, how easy this society would go on. But everyone has their idea how to serve, and my way or the highway, you know. Or if you don't, you know, bow down before me and offer me puja, I won't do anything. I'm not saying you do that, but we have this false pride that, you know, until I'm moved by the higher spirit, I'm not going to do any service. But that's not Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness is, what can I do? What can I do to serve like that? I'm always eager to serve. Sometimes people fight. I want to serve. No, you. I want to serve. You had your turn last time. Now it's my turn now. You don't do it as good as I do. Something like that. Well, the point is that sometimes we see even devotees get enthusiastic over who should serve this particular way. So that's nice. That's transcendental. We're eager to serve. So we may also have our particular tendencies or talents, and we can use that. But if there's some need to come up, a temple president says, clean the floor. Oh, I'm a Brahmin. I was just talking, Madhava Prabhu, the great kirtan leader. He speaks this a few times, but he told me once that, you know, Iyengar came up to him, this was in Vrindavan, and said, let's clean the bathrooms. So he said, clean the bathrooms? He said, yeah, let's clean the bathrooms. We should clean the bathrooms. So he put on their gumsha, and they were in the bathrooms for 3 hours. And Indian bathrooms are not like Western bathrooms. You know, you have to really work to get it even noticeable. You know, it's just the way India is. You know, it's just. And they were in there 3 hours cleaning the brahmachari bathroom. So it doesn't matter what position you have. You're always eager to serve, and you always think, what service can I do? Oh, this is not my service. Prabhupada said, if you walk into the bathroom and it's dirty, and you walk out and leave it the same way, you're as dirty as the bathroom is. It's not my service to clean the bathroom. Well, you may be in a hurry to do something. That's one thing. But if you have a little time, do a little cleaning. Right? You see something laying on the floor, I didn't put it there. Pick it up. You see the lights left on in the middle of the day, turn them off. You know, we come a blue. If we have a service mentality, we'll always see opportunities to serve everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. But if we don't have any service mentality, or if we have our own focus of what is service, you know, we don't see all these things. Prabhupada was on a morning walk one time in Vrindavan, and they were walking around, and they were coming to the same place. And Prabhupada would stop at this one place and say, they see, but they do not see. Devotees were thinking, wow, this is mystical. I wonder what Prabhupada sees. So they go around a second time, and Prabhupada would stop at the same place. They see, but they do not see. And then finally the devotees said to Prabhupada, what is it, Prabhupada, that you see? He said, that light. You know, it's daylight, and nobody's turning out the light. They see it, but they don't see it. So shut the lights off when they're left on. Close the bathroom doors, too, you know. I keep tripping open doors all the time. clean the place too. Don't leave garbage all over the place. Stuff is thrown this way and that way. It's not, you know what? This is Krishna's house. Keep it clean. That's service. I was in Boston, and we were talking about this, and the Boston president temple said, all right, we're going to have a maha cleanup on this weekend, and then we're going to take the whole temple from top to bottom and just clean it. Let's do it here. It's called Gundicha Marjanam. Gundicha is a temple, and they do that in India just before the Rath Yatra. And they cleaned, Lord Chaitanya did. He cleaned the whole temple from top to bottom, the walls, the ceilings, everything. And when they 100 devotees plus Lord Chaitanya, when they finished cleaning it, Lord Chaitanya said, let's clean it again. And Lord Chaitanya found more dirt the second time because he's expert. So this is one way. This is Krishna's house. Keep it clean, not just this room, but all the rooms should be clean. I noticed I walked into the Brahmachari ashram yesterday. I thought, whoa, this is the cleanest I've seen it in 200 decades. I couldn't believe it. I was thinking, am I in the Chicago temple? Something is happening here. But go up to the third floor, you won't see that. I mean the fourth floor. Up there where us rats are running around in the attic. So, clean. That's one way we can do some service. There's so many ways to do service. So, but when we're asked, we should be, thank you. I remember one girl, she told this story. She went to Mayapur. And she's first time she came, she's standing in front of Lord Nisringadev, you know, Ugra Nisringa, and she's praying. My dear Lord, please give me some service. Now, the temple's crowded. There's so many people in the temple. It's big. And she walks away after her prayers. And a few seconds later, some of the pujari comes up with her and said, we have some service we need to do. I was wondering if you could do something. And she was thinking, wow, that was fast. Lord, the Lord immediately fulfilled her desire. So if we could pray like that, then we could also, you know, get that kind of mercy, service. We just think, how can I serve? And what do you see? When you see persons who are fixed in Krishna consciousness, what are they doing? They're just serving, that's all. They're happy to serve. They're eager to serve. They're enthusiastic to serve. And if one of the characteristics of a devotee is they don't want to waste any time. Wasting time is like the worst thing possible. Those devotees who had association with Prabhupada could tell you, he wouldn't waste a second. If he had to go someplace and others were supposed to go with him, if they weren't ready, he was gone. He would go anyway because he wouldn't waste a second because he knew every second is an opportunity to serve Krishna. And wasting seconds means wasting time. And wasting time means wasting something more precious than money because you can't buy back time. Time is so valuable. So, ultimately, develop the mood of servant. We know that. And many of us are also enthusiastic to serve. But there's so much service to do. And we have so much time, right? Look at your schedule. See what you don't need to do. Kick it out. And then think how you can do some more and more service. Because when you're engaged in Krishna's service, you're on the transcendental platform. Even if you don't feel like it, you are. The feeling will come when you become absorbed in that service. Then you'll understand. Okay, so any questions? Comments? Yes, what is your name? Drew, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I was asked a question a couple weekends ago by a college student who came. We were talking about how if you don't accept any other authority, you'll have to accept the authority of your mind.
You said that, or he said?
He was reading Prabhupada's purport, and this he was He was saying, okay, I'm reading the statement. And he said, well, okay, let's say I also accept the Shastras or Guru or Krishna, but isn't the mind accepting that also? So am I not just still in the category of accepting my mind as an authority?
No, not at all. You're using your mind to accept higher authority. When you don't accept higher authority, then you have to listen to your own mind and tells you what to do anyway. Your mind is already your authority. Now you're just transferring your authority, your mind, to under the guise of a superior authority. So, no, not at all.
So it's not the mind that's accepting the authority, or it's not the mind that's transferring the authority over to some Shastra or some
The mind has become intelligent. It's been guided by the intelligence. It's just acting on the platform of the soul now. The soul is the one that's is accepting the instructions of the spiritual master, but it's using the mind guided by good intelligence to do so. You have to use your mind. It depends on how you want to use it. Krishna says in Gita, a person should elevate themselves by their mind and not degrade themselves. The mind is a friend of the conditioned soul and the enemy as well. In the next verse, Krishna says, one who controls the mind is the best friend. And one who fails to do so, that very his very mind is his greatest enemy. Not only enemy, but greatest enemy. So you can use your mind in one way or the other. Rather, you can either use your mind or be used by the mind. Being used by the mind means accepting and rejecting based on what I like and don't like. Using the mind in a spiritual way means accepting higher authority. That's all. The mind has to accept something. The mind is not making the choice. The intelligence is making the choice. The intelligence is a feature of the mind. So it's discriminating. Oh, this is the best thing for me to do, or I should do this. Then that's right. But if you reject it, then you're on the platform of mental, accept. Or you can accept the jurisdiction of the material energy. That's another form of master. Maya also means master. She becomes your master. And then you do whatever you want to do under the guidance of the material energy. And that is called manodharma, listening to the dictations of the mind. When you accept the instructions of the spiritual master and engage in devotional service, you're free from the dictates of the restless and uncontrolled mind. Makes sense? Yeah. People that don't understand. Yeah, Karunya Nidhi.
Arigato Maharaj, thank you.
Slow.
In due course of time, when we discharge devotional service, and in the process of devotional service, we feel sometimes spiritual lamentation. So, because there is a verse, no sachanti, no kankhati. That means, so...
That's not spiritual lamentation, that's material lamentation.
So what's about spiritual lamentation?
Oh, I wish I could do more service. That's spiritual lamentation. And that lamentation is elevating because it inspires you to increase. Material lamentation causes you to go down and feel unhappy. So there is spiritual anxiety, material anxiety, spiritual lamentation, material lamentation. So you're lamenting, oh, I wish I could have done more service. Oh, or I wish I would have did that service better. I could have did it better if I wasn't so in a hurry. Or if I was more concentrated on what I was doing. Well, that's good. That's an indication of a sincere devotee. We want that. Because we should always be in that mood. Because then that helps us to increase the quality of our service or increase the quantity of our service. I wish I could have did it better or nicer or more. That's good. Okay. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the class.
Mm-hmm. You sure?
Yes, I'm absolutely sure. Before I ask my question, I just want to say, since devotees don't like to glorify themselves, the reason the temple in the Brahmachari Ashram room is so clean is because the temple commander, Bhatta Drew Prabhu, he's a mastermind behind that. So.
Yeah, he's Pakka.
Exactly. So.
You know what Pakka means? Pakka. Pakka.
I'm not.
It means, what is the word? What's the better? It doesn't mean perfect. It means like ideal. Is that better? One who's Pakka is ideal. Yeah, so if you want, yeah, cleanliness is a high principle in ashram life. One of the highest principles in ashram life, if not the highest.
So my question is, suppose we have a service and we see that somebody else also has a service, but we have the idea that, I want to do their service because they're getting more attention. So can it actually be considered a service mentality or a master, the tendency to try to become a master mentality? So can it?
In other words, you want to get some recognition from the service.
Yeah.
So it's better than not doing the service, but if you don't get the recognition, what will you do after that? You'll not do the service, right? You're motivated by the service, or you're motivated by the recognition? Which one are you motivated by? So, if you're motivated by the service and you get some recognition, that's nice. If you're motivated by the recognition and you do some service, you don't get the recognition, then who's it about, you or Krishna? It's about you. You have to remember, Krishna doesn't need your service. And so if you're using service to further your own either gross or subtle desires, it's all about you. It's all about you. And it's not about, if you want to understand Krishna consciousness, you have to get out of the way. You have to make room for Krishna. Take yourself out of the center and put Krishna in the center. Put service in the center. Ramanujacharya, or one of his great devotees, said, tell this story. We got some time for a story. Yeah. Yeah, okay. So one devotee came to Ramanujacharya. He said, Ramanuja, can you tell me what is the quality of a sincere devotee? What is the qualifications of sincere devotee, one who is sincere? Ramanujacharya said, you should go to Shailapurna. He's in Tirupati. And he'll help you. So he was in Sri Rangam. He had to go all the way to Tirupati from Sri Rangam. So he did. Got there. Shailapurna is taking care of Balaji, cleaning up the place, doing all menial service. Him and his wife, they're older. They're doing everything themselves. Big sacrifice. So he asked the same question to Shailapurna. Shailapurna thought a minute and said, I think you better go back and ask Ramanujacharya. So he went all the way back. No, that's the wrong story. Well, there's another story. I'm mixing two stories. No, he asked Shailapurna. Shailapurna didn't answer the question. And then he was thinking, well, maybe I should just do some service. So he starts doing some service. And he's there for 6 months just doing service. And one day there's a big festival where all the Sri Vaishnavas are coming. So there's a big feast. And Shalapurna said, why don't you serve the devotees? So he very eagerly, happily picks up the serving containers and buckets and starts serving. Everyone serves. Now he's asked to serve the servers. He does that. And after doing some service for some time, Shalapurna said, you had a question? He said, yes. What does it mean? What is the qualifications, characteristics of a great devotee? Shalapurna said, a great devotee is like a crane, a male hen, salt, and you. That was the answer. A crane, a male hen, salt, and you. So, can't figure it out. So he goes back and he meets Ramanujacharya. And Ramanujacharya said, did Shalapurna answer your question? He said, well, he did, but I don't understand the answer. Well, what did he say? He said that a great devotee, sincere devotee, is like a crane. He's like a male hen. He's salt and like me. Oh, Ramanujacharya said, that's simple to understand, because he's a great acharya. He said, a crane is white, and white stands for purity. So a great devotee is pure. And a crane stays by the river, and the fishes swim by, and he lets the little fish go, and he grabs the big fishes. He's not interested in the little fishes. So a devotee, he's not interested in small talk. He only wants to talk about topics of Krishna. And when the river starts to flood, then the crane will leave the area and go to the ocean. So when the non-devotees start to congregate, the devotees will leave and go to the association of the holy places to get away from the non-devotees. So he wants to associate with non-devotees. And a male hen will go to a dustbin and pick out the little seeds for his chickies, kids, and he'll go through the dirty place and always find what is edible in the dirty place. So a male hen will take the best out of the worst. So a devotee always sees the good in everyone and leaves the rest. Salt, if you cook a preparation and then you put some salt in it and then you give it to someone to eat, they don't say, wow, the salt is perfect. They say, this is nice. So the salt adds flavor to the food, but never gets any credit for it. So a devotee is always wants to stay in the background, wants to do the service, but is not interested in getting the recognition. So in this case, salt is good, according to your question. And you, the last one was, yeah, Ramanujacharya said, yeah, you came and you did service. And then you didn't say anything, and then when you were asked to serve, you simply served. Therefore, a devotee is like that. He's always willing to serve and is always eager to serve. So he answered his question. So, yeah, a devotee doesn't look for recognition because we're not... We want to be recognized by Krishna. And material recognition interferes or blocks that recognition by Krishna. You don't get Krishna. If you want recognition in this material world, Krishna will reject you or will not give you that kind of recognition you need in your spiritual life. But false pride is there, and when it comes up in our minds, just reject it, that's all. Don't think about it. It's not so important. You know why we want these things? Because we're not satisfied in ourselves, and therefore we're looking for satisfaction through external means. When we're happy in devotional service, we don't look for these things. We don't care. We're not interested in recognition. We're interested in giving Krishna recognition. So therefore, sometimes a devotee will put himself forward. Why? So inspire others to recognize Krishna. That's all. Look at Prabhupada was the ideal example. How many gurus and sadhus and holy men come from India, and it's all about their name is on the institution, right? It's, you know, this guru's math, this guru's, you know, sangha. Prabhupada, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He didn't make the organization named after him. He made it after Krishna. That was Prabhupada. He didn't. And now we're hearing the glories of Prabhupada because Krishna wants to recognize Prabhupada. Prabhupada never wanted any recognition for himself. He wanted to always push Krishna in the front. So, okay. Don't try for it. It's a waste of mental energy. And you'll be happier if you don't try. Just be happy with the... If we can just learn to serve, we're happy. That's all. We take pleasure in the service itself. That's all. And you always get prasadam, so it's nice. Right? Right? There's always prasadam. See that? No problem. Dori has prasad, they're happy. Jitendra, Prabhu?
Thanks for defining the intelligence in the mind. It's in the Gita there, but sometimes we hear the expression wholehearted, half-hearted, lion-hearted, weak-hearted. Would you like to talk about the heart a little? And then I remember reading a book, The Heart of ISKCON, Sridhar Swami, who passed away several years ago. But I get that a little confused, the heart of the situation, or, you know, would you like to speak a little about that?
Heart?
The heart, lion-hearted, weak-hearted, you know.
No-hearted. Hard-hearted.
Hard-hearted, yeah.
Tough love. What is the heart of bhakti? The heart of bhakti is unalloyed service. It's compassion. Compassion is a step up from... Is the essence of bhakti. And compassion is a voluntary feeling towards relieving the sufferings of others. It's not inspired by a situation. It comes from one's own good nature, wanting to make a difference in the life of somebody else. Yeah. And Krishna is Surit. Su means great, and rit means heart. So Krishna is the friend of our heart. He's the heart of the heart. So we don't want to, you know, we've been giving our hearts to so many things in so many lifetimes, and now sometimes people take our heart and they kick it on the ground and throw it, step on it. Or they hand it back to you and say, we don't want it. They do other things with it. So we kind of like, we're not easy to give it out so easy anymore, right? It's hard. But when you find that person you can give your heart to, then you shouldn't hesitate. Maybe it takes a little while to be convinced. But give your heart to Krishna means giving your life to Krishna in devotional service. Oh, I know, I want to give it to Krishna, but I can't give it to the devotees around me because, you know, I'm not sure what they're going to do with it. They might just put it in their locker and forget about it. But, you know, it's something you want to be very careful in doing, but at the same time, you have to give it. And otherwise, if you don't give it, you'll be heartless. You get a heart by giving a heart. Sometimes we say, if you want love, you gotta love. if you want to be loved, you better show love. People will not say, oh, that's the way the world works. Whatever you put out, you get back. If you're expecting something that you're not doing yourself in life, you won't get it. If you're expecting people to like you, you have to like others. If you're expecting people to serve you, you have to serve others. In other words, whatever you want in life, you have to be an instrument for that. But I know we've been hurt before or not appreciated. But when you come to Krishna consciousness, you should think, this is the best place. How best can I give my heart or my time, my energy? And it's always, Krishna will always, he won't disappoint us. He won't disappoint us.
It's beyond Sankirtan, and they say, have a heart, you know, and then I remember an Elvis song.
Well, they say, have a heart.
Have a heart, you know.
And reach into your pocket.
Have a heart, you know. Or they show a picture of some little kids and say, yeah, for the kids, you know, have a heart. And then, you know, Elvis would say, don't be cruel to a heart that's true. So.
Yeah. Well, if you want to be happy, have a heart. Any other questions? Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Have some prasad. It'll warm you. If you take some prasad, it'll warm your heart. Warm your stomach also. Hare Krishna.